Now we come in chapter 3 to the call of Samuel as a prophet priest. Now this chapter is ordinarily reserved for children, and I'd like to take it out of the nursery today and give it to the senior citizens. That's where it belongs. Not only for a beginner's department, but also for those that are sitting in the sanctuary. And actually, Alice in Wonderland was written by Lewis Carroll. He wrote it for his grandchildren, but you know it's philosophy, and it really was an indictment of his day in the social order, and it is a deep philosophy. And so here, this story marks one of the greatest, I think, transitional periods. The form of government is changed in this chapter. God adopts a new program. We move from a theocracy to a monarchy, from the priest to the king. And Eli is the last here of the priests, that is, of the line, and Samuel is the first of the prophets, as we shall see in this chapter. And we are told in verse 20, all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. This is very important to see. And it's this man Samuel now that poured the anointing oil on both Saul and David. Now, God called him 4 times. And I think this rather nullifies the popular epigram today that opportunity knocks only 1 time at the door. And then I think it also answers the argument that man can turn at his leisure to God. I believe that there is an appointed time. And that now is the accepted time. Today, if you'll hear his voice. And there comes a day when you won't hear his voice, by the way. Now, friends, we seem to be getting off of the ground here in 1 Samuel rather slowly, but it's a very important area that we're in, and especially that we come to today. It is the call of Samuel, and can be called the last call God made to him. And we read in verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days, there was no open vision. Well, the first thing for us to note here is that the word child doesn't mean he was just a little fella. Josephus gives the age of 12. Probably he was a teenager. Solomon said, in his prayer, I'm but a little child. Well, he was a grown man that had just been made king. And Jeremiah was called to the priest's office, and he says, I can't speak for I'm a child. Well, he was thinking of, I think, his spiritual maturity there rather than physical. And the child Samuel here means he was a young man, and he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. You don't have a 4-year-old child running around serving the Lord in the tabernacle, by the way. The word of the Lord was precious. Now, that means that it was scarce. It was a scarce article, by the way. And that's the reason that you read here that the word of the Lord was scarce in that day, or precious in those days. That is, God was not revealing himself at this particular time. He does begin to move in now, and he's calling this boy Samuel as a prophet. You see, he's moving from the position of the judge and the priest to that now of the prophet. And the prophet becomes the spokesman for the king. God never really spoke directly to the king. It was through the prophet. And we'll see that as we move along. Now, it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Remember, the high priest was to take care of the lamp, and he put oil in it, and now it is burnt down and about to go out. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Lie down again. He went and lay down. He just thought the young man was just dreaming, you know, and had a dream. and said, go lie down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now, we need to note something here, for these first two calls are a call to salvation. Their last two calls, God called him four times, by the way, and the last two are for service. The first two for salvation. Notice verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So at this time, Samuel is being called to salvation. He didn't know the Lord, and God is calling him to salvation. Now, what is the age of accountability? I think he had reached that, and that God now is going to hold him responsible. Well, in Israel, we've already seen in the book of Numbers, it was 20 when God called them to war, when a man was able to go to war. And then the Levites didn't begin service till they were 25, and the priests at age 30. Well, how old was Samuel? Well, I do not know how old he was. I could make a suggestion to you, and I may or may not be right, by the way. Over in Numbers, the 14th chapter, verse 29, let me read this. He says, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Now, when they were under 20 years, God didn't hold them responsible. Is 20 the age of accountability? I don't know. I'm merely suggesting it's much older than a great many people seem to think today. And I think this boy Samuel was in his teens. Now, God calls him to salvation. The question has always been, would God have called him a fifth time, a sixth time, a seventh time, or a 50th time? Well, I don't know. I do believe this, that with all my heart, that there is a time to be saved. It's been expressed like this. There is a time, I know not when, a place I know not where, which marks the destiny of man to heaven, our despair. How long may man go on in sin? How long will God forbear? Where does hope end? And where begins the confines of despair? One answer from those skies is sent. Ye who from God depart, while it is called today, repent, and harden not your heart. It's quite interesting, friends, that there will come a day when apparently men don't seem to be able to turn to God. The chaplain that was at the prison where Hermann Goering was placed at the time of his trial and then when he was to be executed, he went in and had a long interview with Goering, and he put before him, as he wrote it later, the necessity of preparing himself to meet God. And he says, in the course of our conversation, he ridiculed certain Bible truths and refused to accept that Christ died for sinners. It was a conscious denial of the power of the blood. Death is death was the substance of his last words. As I recall to him the hope of his little daughter to meet him in heaven, he replied, she believes in her manner and I in mine. And then this man left, very much discouraged, and he says in less than an hour, he heard that Hermann Goering had committed suicide. May I say to you that God called to this man twice, and I think he'll call maybe many times to you, but there apparently comes a day when a man is hardened. And so this is a tremendous lesson. Then we have the first two calls to salvation, and then the last two calls that we have here are to service. Will you notice verse 8? I'm reading now. 1 Samuel 3:8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child, a young man. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And this is the third call, now the fourth. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant hear it. And you remember that this is the way the Lord called Saul of Tarsus. He called him to salvation. Who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. Rise, stand on thy feet. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And God had called them to salvation and service at the same time. But God had called him. Proverbs says in Proverbs 29:1, He that being often reproven hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, I do not believe you can commit an unpardonable sin, that you do something today, you couldn't come to God and be forgiven tomorrow. But does God withdraw his grace? Well, no, never will he do that. But men can resist and rebel and reject, and their conscience becomes seared with a hot iron. And like Cain or Balaam or Samson or Korah or Ahab, all of these can reach a day when they can turn their back against God. And Felix said, I'll hear you at some convenient time. And King Agrippa replied, And almost thou makest me a Christian. And Paul says, King Agrippa, not almost, but altogether. Christ saved one thief, that man need not despair, but he only saved one, but that men need not presume. And now God speaks to this man, and the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'll do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I'll also make an end. God says when he says something, it's the same as done. And we have in the Old Testament what has been called the prophetic tense. It's a past tense, but it speaks of the future. God speaks of things that have not yet happened as if they've already happened. And when he says they're going to happen, they're going to happen. Now, as we saw last time when we entered chapter 3, we were told that all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, this boy, Samuel, is loyal to Eli to the very end. He didn't attempt to undermine him. He went to him and told him everything that God had said to him. And I want to say this, that in God's service today, if you're under some other man, you be loyal to him. Don't tell me you can be loyal to Christ and be disloyal to God's man that is above you. Oh, how that's needed today. And I wish that were taught more in our seminaries instead of teaching some of the things that, very frankly, just don't seem to be getting us anywhere. Now, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. How did God reveal himself? By his word. And God today is not revealing himself, but God today is illuminating by his spirit the page of scripture that you and I can come to know him, to know the Lord Jesus, and to know God, and this is life eternal.